It is 27 minutes after the hour. Time we connected with Dr. Don Clark. Don is a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and a resident of Garden Valley, Texas, just a little bit northeast of us here. And he's fresh back from Cleveland. You got out of Cleveland unscathed, eh, Don?
Oh, we did. We did get out of Cleveland. We went from Cleveland to Ann Arbor, Michigan, to see where my daughter will be going to school, starting in the fall.
Well, that's a few miles you put on there. Don was not with us last week for that reason. He was journeying. He was that's a long way to Cleveland. How far is the drive from Garden Valley to Cleveland?
Oh, it's 1,000 miles.
1,000 miles easily. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad.
I'm sure we put over 2,000 miles mm-hmm. on our vehicle.
That's the new EV vehicle. That's the new electric.
The new EV. No, we wouldn't have made that trip.
I heard
on the road somewhere.
I heard a number in the news yesterday or the day before that a recent study has just turned over the fact that 60% of EV drivers would now go back to internal combustion engines in the blink of an eye if they could afford it.
Yeah, they spent so much money on their EV vehicles. Now they don't have any money to buy a standard
and lost
internal
so much
combustion
immediately.
Engine
yeah, the,
vehicle.
It depreciates instantly. And something I'm not. And this is an article that was brought to my attention through the Cornwall Alliance, and we'll talk about that. But it's highly technical. I'm going to read you a sentence, and perhaps you can explain it to me. Here we go. Electricity, on the other hand, with its orderly string of moving electrons, has extremely low entropy. Upgrading from thermal to electric energy always introduces predictable inefficiencies based on the fundamental laws of thermodynamics. What did I just read?
Well, you're talking about entropy. So entropy is the law of randomness, that order always goes to disorder. Mm. And there's energy that is required to bring order back into the system. And the easiest way to understand it is you have a playroom and all of the toys in the playroom. This is, you know, for kids, a kid's playroom. All the toys in the playroom are on the shelves in order. And then you let loose a two-year-old and see how long it takes for the order to become disorder. And then you take the two-year-old out, and then mom or dad has to go back in the room and order and put in energy into the system in order to bring back order into the chaos.
I'm a walking example of that because we have a puppy at home, and we've created a toy box because there's an unending supply of different chew toys and tug of war toys and things that flash and things that roll, and I pick them up every night, put them in this box, and by the end of the next day they are all over the house. That is so true, but I've never thought of it with respect to EVs. This has to do with the production of energy, doesn't it?
It does. And looking at this whole article is an energy article, and it looks at the total energy, you know, required, let's say, for an electric vehicle versus that of an internal combustion engine, or ICE, is the acronym is referred to. So and when you do that, when you look at the total energy, you know, consumption, EVs fall way short of internal combustion engines. And so the investment, this is also kind of an investment article, the investment community thought, oh, EVs are coming on the scene, we better jump on the EV bandwagon and invest in these companies that are making electric vehicles, and so we can get in on the boom, the electric vehicle boom that's about ready to happen. Well, if you look back over the past several years, of course, the electric vehicle boom never happened. And those companies that invested heavily, Ford being one of them, as you might recall, has lost billions of dollars.
And Hertz, the car rental company.
And Hertz bought a big fleet of electric vehicles, and now Hertz is decreasing their electric vehicles by at least a third globally because the demand isn't there. People don't really want to drive EV vehicles.
The government paid for buses for small towns and cities across the country, so they would have electric-powered bus fleets. Many of those buses are now sidelined because they don't work anymore.
They don't go uphill.
It is the technology, but it's not necessarily the technology. And the major problem, of course, is the battery. And so in order to have the electric vehicle move, you need a source of energy, and the energy is stored in these very expensive lithium batteries. And so you have to charge them up, and you got to get electricity from somewhere to charge the batteries. So, energy is not free. Even though you plug your electric vehicle in to your power at your house or to a charging station, to generate that electricity is not free. And so you got to get that energy from somewhere. But even, including the cost of energy, electric vehicle, if you didn't include the cost of making that vehicle, would be more efficient than a gas-powered vehicle, to run. So, let's say you keep a vehicle for 10 years, which is the typical life of of the battery for an electric vehicle. And we know to replace the battery pack will cost just about as much as you paid for the electric vehicle. So, the chances of you just replacing the battery pack and keeping your electric vehicle is probably slim to none. So now you're replacing the whole thing. If you look at the amount of energy or the cost of the energy that it used over that 10-year period, and your electric bill and the increase in your electric bill because of the electric vehicle versus the amount of gasoline that you would have used for an equivalent gasoline-powered vehicle, you would say, aha, you see, I've saved X number of dollars using my electric vehicle. Well, that doesn't take into consideration the manufacturer of the vehicle, the manufacturing of the vehicle. And that's where electric vehicles fall way short of gasoline-powered vehicles.
Now, this article is entitled The Norwegian Illusion. And the reason is they focused on the country of Norway, who paid major bucks for their population to start driving electric vehicles. And the whole purpose behind that was to reduce CO2 in the atmosphere. And there's other mislogic applied there too, but just from the energy efficiency standpoint, from the actual cost, there are other scientific overlooks, shall we say, that were ignored in governments getting behind and subsidizing the purchase of electric vehicles. Now in Norway, they really kind of went to the extreme. And it's now straining the national budget of Norway because they provided all kinds of freebies to people who would buy electric vehicles, which turned out to be basically freebies for the upper crust in Norway. That's being now seen as a model that the United States should not follow, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no one should follow it because it doesn't include the total cost for electric vehicles. But more to the point with Norway, they gave tremendous subsidies to people to first purchase the electric vehicle. And then they also, for example, there's a value-added tax. Here in the U.S., we don't have a value-added tax, so we don't know how onerous this tax is, but it's like a 25%. There's a value-added tax that's added to any product that is sold in most European countries. You know, England has a value-added tax, and obviously Norway has a value-added tax. So what Norway did in order to encourage people to buy electric vehicles was they said, okay, if you buy an electric vehicle, you don't have a value-added tax. And so that amounted to a savings of about $27,000 in tax over the equivalent gasoline-powered engine. So, okay, maybe I'll consider an electric vehicle if I'm saving $27,000. In addition, they said, okay, you can charge your vehicles for free at any of our charging stations. And on the roads, you can use the municipal bus lanes to get around town. So you're getting around a little faster because you're not in the traffic that is, used for normal automobiles. And you have charging rights at your apartments and all of these, subsidies that the government was handing out. And just charging your vehicle alone saved you another $8,000 annually. Well, the government, and doing all of this, the EV sales surged, by 80% by giving all of this. Now, the EV fleet in Norway is still only 20% of the cars. So while there was a uptick initially of EV sales, that still didn't solve any of their, long-term problems. And so Norway then, decided that, hey, we're losing too much money in revenue. Imagine that, that they're because they're not getting these taxes and they're paying for, the subsidies of charging these vehicles, they're losing money hands over fist. No one could have predicted that ahead of time, that Norway's, revenues are going to go down because of all these subsidies. But, be that as it may, they finally said, okay, well, we're not going to subsidize this and we're not going to subsidize this anymore. And lo and behold, people stopped buying EV vehicles.
This seems to be self-defeating because Norway itself, as I understand it, their funding, their money comes from North Sea oil. That's what provides the national budget and most of the income for people in Norway. So they derive their wealth from oil to begin with, and it seems counterproductive to be talking about EVs in Norway, especially just for the purpose of reducing CO2. First of all, this article goes on to say that Norway probably produces the least CO2 to the atmosphere because of their hydrological source for their electricity, which I don't know what that means. Does that mean from groundwater? What is it to produce electricity from hydrological sources?
I don't know exactly how they are producing hydroelectric
means water, right?
So electricity from water. Maybe it's from thermal, thermal geysers and stuff like that. The way, we would normally think of a hydroelectric plant, you go to a think of Hoover Dam, and mm-hmm. Hoover Dam is a hydroelectric plant. The whole reason of building Hoover Dam was to generate electricity.
Moving water provides the energy.
Right. So the moving water then provides the energy. Now, I don't know if that's the way they're doing it in Norway, but most of their electricity is generated through water. Like I said, I don't know if it's thermal or whether it's, through dams and stuff like that. But so most of their electricity is generated from that, which you know, is not generating carbon dioxide. So if you switch people from a carbon dioxide burning system, like the internal combustion engine, to a electric vehicle, then lo and behold, your carbon footprint is going to be reduced. And indeed, you know, Norway's carbon footprint was reduced through this experiment, and was reduced by 16%. But the U.S. also achieved the same 16% over the same period by switching from coal to natural gas. So we're still burning, we're still making carbon dioxide, but instead of using coal, we switch to natural gas, which is a cleaner form of energy in order to generate.
Except
power.
Someplace on Earth, those EV batteries are being manufactured using fossil fuels that put back that CO2.
Well, and that's the whole point of this article, is that it takes so much energy to mine the rare earths. I mean, some of them are not so rare, but, you know, to mine the lithium and the nickel and the copper and the other elements that are required to make the batteries, that it more than, matter of fact, it outweighs any savings that you would ever possibly get from, you know, switching to EV in the first place. So your efficiency then of the electric vehicle over the internal combustion engine goes away, and goes away very, very quickly if you consider the consumption of energy that is required, excuse me, to make these the batteries. I mean, just the batteries alone, not the electric motors and all this other components, but just the batteries alone kind of wipes out any potential savings that you would get by switching over to EV and not, you know, producing carbon dioxide from the EV. So from an environmental point of view, you lose. You lose by switching over to electric vehicles. From an energy point of view, mm-hmm. you also lose. And from the energy point of view, the electric vehicle is like, if you consider all of the energy required, electric vehicle is, I'm looking for the actual percentage, is 60% less efficient overall than the internal combustion engine. So while electricity usage to actually move the vehicle is very much more efficient, the amount of energy that you use to create that vehicle and to operate that vehicle then is far is less, so much less efficient, that you wind up at the end of the day using, you know, that it's 60% less efficient than the internal combustion engine. And so the whole thrust of this article is, hey, folks, when you look at total energy usage, which is what the authors were really interested in, you're using far more energy to produce and to make these internal, I mean, these electric vehicles than you think that you're using. And in because it is less efficient, this will not survive. Because nowhere in man's history has a less efficient form of energy replaced a more efficient form of energy. So, you know, it's the bottom line is we're not going to, from an energy point of view, we're not going to replace internal combustion engines anytime soon with electric vehicles from the simple point that electric vehicles use more energy per mile driven. If you take, you know, take that into consideration, the manufacture of these things than internal combustion engines. And so the interesting thing is the Norwegian story, which doesn't end with, okay, a lot of people bought the electric vehicles. It turns out, as you mentioned earlier, that those people who bought the internal combustion engines lived in the cities and were kind of the upper end of the, you know, economic spectrum. And so you disincentivized the poorer section of your population, and this became an elite tax advantage. And so, you know, don't let the socialists get word of this, because, oh, the elite get a tax advantage and we can't have that. And so now there's all kinds of discussions in Norway about the discrimination against the poorer side of their population.
The same thing would hold true here as well, I'm sure, because the government is subsidizing electric vehicles, and it's not your average guy on the street that can fork out $70,000, $80,000 for an EV. So they're rerouting tax money paid by the entire population to a small subset of the population that is willing to buy an EV. And many of them are saying, never again.
Yeah, 60% of the folks, and I think you quoted this earlier in the conversation, 60% of the folks in the United States who bought EVs said, we're not going to buy another EV because we can't go anywhere. And, you know, winters in some places actually get really cold, and then we get stranded on the highways because, the battery is much, much less efficient and doesn't, you know, you can't go down the street in a cold day with your EV, even if it's fully charged. So, yeah, there's a lot of negatives to this particular technology. And whether, and it, this article basically, these authors basically say EV electricity, this type of form of vehicle will never replace internal combustion engines, at least in our foreseeable, you know, lifetime. And so we should maybe do the natural thing would be to do if government wasn't involved. If you make a good product, people will buy it. If it makes sense overall, you know, people will buy the product and switch over to that technology. But as long as the technology is costing you far more than what you're currently using, why would you do it on your own? And so Norway had to have all of these incentives to switch people over. And then when they switched over, they said, well, we got an EV vehicle, you know, for running around town because we can get places easier. But if we have to go up in the mountains, or if we have to visit someone in a different city, guess what we're using? We're using our internal combustion engine. So those people, again, the upper class had two vehicles. One was the electric vehicle, and the other one was the internal combustion engine. And the moral of this story is that the energy use in Norway did not decrease; it increased. And so, people were predicting that the total, energy from gasoline and from fossil fuels would decrease and would actually peak in 2019. Never happened. Energy consumption continues to increase, and the fossil fuels are still, you know, the king of energy as we know it today, and probably will be for some time to come.
Goes back to, again, to the fundamental laws of thermodynamics. Just because the government says they don't apply doesn't make it so. And if and when EVs make sense, the private enterprise will make them, and make them right. So until then, beware, people. Don't jump into that. Don't jump into that end of the pool. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments, I want to mention their website to you, creationmoments.com. And there they have a wealth of information, scientific information, that supports the biblical story of creation, which all of this goes back to. It's how things really are. And you can learn about it. Peruse the inventory there at creationmoments.com. You'll learn a lot and appreciate their website. Don, thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, indeed. You folks have a great week.
Bye-bye.